Happy New Year's, everyone. Welcome to 2016. On last week's episode, you might recall that I basically chastised folks for listening to Field Notes on Christmas Day. Or, rather, you might remember if you were one of the folks that I chastised. If not, good for you. Well, no such admonishment today. Go ahead and have that radio on, and be listening to good old KDLG as you go about your first day of the new year. And to kickstart things, here's a little bit of a history lesson for you, as far as why we celebrate the new year on the day we do. Once again, as with Christmas Day being on December 25th, the new year being a January 1st thing traces its roots back to the Romans. Specifically, Julius Caesar decided on January 1st as the first day of the new year to honor the namesake of the month, Janus, the god of beginnings. Today, that's still where we begin each new year, and other than another day off from work, there are a number of things we normally do to celebrate the beginning of the new year, including parties that start on the last day of the old year and continue into the new, countdowns to midnight, being with friends, eating special foods, watching fireworks displays, and making resolutions for the new year to come. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. So how do you see your new year shaping up? Furthermore, how was last night? Any fireworks or parties of note? Did you send off the old year with a big bang? And how about food? Most New Year's Eve parties I've been a part of have always had a great selection of foods to snack from. We do have to keep in mind that traditions can and do vary around the globe. In Spain, people bolt down a dozen grapes right before midnight, which is meant to symbolize their hopes for the 12 months of the coming new year. Pork is prominent as a party food in many countries, whereas pigs are thought to represent prosperity and progress. In the Netherlands, ring-shaped cakes are served and symbolize that the year has come full circle. In the Scandinavian countries, rice pudding with an almond hidden inside is served in the belief that whoever finds the almond will have a full 12 months of good fortune. My point is, there are a lot of customs out there. Closer to home are things like New Year's Eve parties, countdowns, finding someone to kiss at midnight, resolutions, and singing Auld Lang Syne. For what it's worth, Auld Lang Syne is credited with having been written by Scottish poet Robert Burns in 1788. Though others contributed, and even Burns admits, he relied on work by earlier poet James Watson. The song's iconic, somewhat enigmatic title can loosely be translated, "For the sake of old times." Another standard of the recognition of a new year, the practice of making resolutions, is thought to have first caught on among the ancient Babylonians, who made promises in an attempt to win the favor of the gods and start the new year off right. Of course, their resolutions often dealt with paying off debts and returning borrowed farm equipment. Even so, the making of resolutions is something a lot of folks still do as a new year begins. It makes for a nice start on the calendar to consider things we'd like to make and things we'd like to do better. In my opinion, there is nothing wrong with that at all. I think that in everything we do, there's always room for a bit of improvement, or to know more, and it behooves us to be moving in that direction. I once saw a university study online related to resolutions. While I have no knowledge if any Alaskans figured into the study, I do think the top three resolutions they identified are pretty darned universal. Those resolutions were to lose weight and eat better, get more organized, and spend less, save more. Those could cover a decent percentage of the population, in my humble opinion. And change is hard, isn't it? Of course it is. If it wasn't, we'd all change much more readily when it was required of us. In that same survey, only 8% of those surveyed said they were successful in their resolutions through the whole year, though people who explicitly made a resolution were 10 times more likely to succeed in changing what they wanted to change. The takeaway from that? Resolutions can be hard to keep, but those who make a conscious effort at seeing a need for and wanting change stand a better chance of seeing change occur. Food for thought for those of you who actually have something written down that you'd like to work on this year. I have shared some of my own resolutions on past episodes, around this time of year, and I plan to do so again today. Please understand a couple of things about the resolutions I share. First, I will only share resolutions dealing with the outdoors, though I have others. That's because this is Field Notes, after all. Also, I share some of my resolutions not in the belief that they are anything fantastic, or that they are anything that you need to run out and try to do yourself. No, whatever resolutions you make for yourself, should you choose to do so, need to be about you. My only motivation in sharing is to get you, the listener, to think about things related to the outdoors you'd like to accomplish over the coming year. Think of it as goal setting, and I firmly believe goal setting is a good thing to do. Finally, some of these may sound like things you've heard before. That's because some of them are something of an ongoing resolution that I haven't quite cracked yet. This isn't a comprehensive list by any means, but a few things I've considered as we begin a new year. I resolved to lose weight and get in better shape. In my defense, I didn't have a bad 2015. I was much more consistent with finding ways to work out using a combination of an active outdoor lifestyle, regular jogging sessions, and participation in a weekly basketball league. Indeed, I might have been in better shape last year than I have been in a while, but I am still failing epically with my weight. At some point, I'm going to have to confront the fact that cutting back on food is going to have to be a part of the plan. Maybe I'll do that for 2017. Losing weight and being in better shape can only have beneficial effects for any and all time that I spend outdoors. I resolve to maintain a high level of activity as it applies to spending time outdoors. For me, that largely means hunting and fishing, as those are the activities I like to do. Last year, I spent 31 nights outdoors, and who knows how many days, chasing after the many types of wildlife around Bristol Bay. I can only hope that 2016 will be as good or better. I resolve to help my wife harvest her first big game animal, with the caveat of if that's something she wants to do as well. We actually made a go of it last fall, with going on a family caribou hunting trip, and I did spend more time at the range with my daughters, which has been a resolution in the past. I'd like to double down and help my wife get her first animal. Again, if that's something she wants as well. I resolve to continue to rediscover reloading, or hand-loading if you prefer. Last year, after a nearly two-decade break from doing so, I started to reload again, and did a fair amount of it as the year wound down. In particular, I'd like to resolve to find the best possible money load for my Model 99 Savage. I'm close with one load, I think, that load being a 160-grain Hornady FTX pushed by 44 grains of Reloader 15. With a bit more tweaking and more range time in the months to come, I'm confident I'll find what I'm looking for. Speaking of that Model 99, very close to the top of my list is a resolution to harvest a big game animal with it. I've had my Model 99 for less than a year. The Model 99, if you're not familiar with it, is something of an iconic firearm, and I've wanted one for many years. Well, now I have one, and I'm anxious to take a big game animal with it. Yes, success with the 99 is very high on the list for 2016. I resolved to take the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Bowhunter Education course. I will admit that this one has some level of motivation beyond just me. Beginning July 1st, 2016, all big game hunters in our state using archery equipment will be required to have successfully completed an Alaska Department of Fish and Game approved certification course. To this point, this requirement has only applied to certain restricted area archery-only hunts, such as along the Dalton Highway corridor. Now it applies to everyone. Harvesting a brown bear is an ongoing resolution of mine, so I guess I'll have to knock down this course so I can continue to pursue that particular goal. I resolved to take my family on a float trip somewhere. I love river rafting. I've spoke of it often on this show. My oldest daughter has been on a float trip and understands what her dear old dad sees in float trips. But my youngest daughter and my wife have still yet to experience what it's like. That needs to change in 2016. In closing, I would say only this. Be thinking about what it is you want to be doing outdoors this year. The clock is ticking. In fact, it's always ticking. Take advantage of any time you can spend outdoors while you can. Maybe this time next year you'll have a whole new set of resolutions to work on. Well, at least if you're better about them than I am. Best of wishes on a great start to 2016, everyone. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.